I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, the Trump administration has slapped a 25% tariff on Mexico, and that's expected to rise to 30% on Friday. Mexico is the U.S.'s largest trading partner, and business with Mexico is even more important to Texas. Much of that trade comes through San Antonio, so the local economy is expected to see a major negative impact from these tariffs. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Mexico's trade with the United States is significant, and that is an understatement. Both countries are each other's largest trading partner. In 2024, the total goods traded with Mexico reached $840 billion. The U.S. and Mexico and Canada have a free trade agreement. Or maybe I should be saying had a free trade agreement, because so much is happening so fast it's hard to tell. And because there is now a 25% tariff on Mexico, that goes up to 30% on Friday. And it looks like the exemptions that are in the USMCA, the upgrade of the North American Free Trade Agreement, that will not be allowed. So it's unsure. We don't know what's going to be getting these tariffs. It looks like everything. And the word that many are using to describe what is happening is devastating. But we've kind of been here before, and President Trump has backed down. That was in March. But administration officials are saying that's not going to happen this time, but they said that last time. So where are we with the Mexico trade tariffs? How will this impact South Texas? We are heavily invested in moving freight in and out of Mexico. And if you are in that import-export industry as a trucker, doing logistics, disinvolved in all that, we'd like to get your view. How is this impacting your business? What do you expect to see happening? Give us a call, 833-877-8255. Our guest for this half hour is Ernie Tedeschi. He is the chief of economics at the Budget Lab at Yale. He was the chief economist in the White House Council of Economic Advisors during the Biden administration. And Ernie, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
So doom and gloom, henny penny, the sky is falling down. What's going on here?
Well, you know, why don't we start 30,000 foot and then we can dig in a little bit on Mexico specifically. So as of August 1st, when the higher Mexico and Canada tariffs take effect, when the higher rates on, I think it's roughly now 24 other countries, including the European Union, which was just announced to have a 15% deal, we will be at an average tariff rate in the United States of roughly 18%. So that's the average rate that we're going to pay on all imports coming into the United States from everywhere. That's the highest average tariff rate that we've had since 1934. Since the days of the Great Depression. Just to put that in perspective for people, we started the year at a 2.5% average effective tariff rate. And even that was a little bit higher from where it was before the first Trump administration. The first Trump administration raised it from 1.5 to 2.5. The Biden administration largely kept it at 2.5. And then in the course of 6 short months, we've gone from 2.5 to 18%. That's going to do a lot of things. It will raise revenue. We project $2.8 trillion in revenue over 10 years. That's meaningful and significant. But it's also going to put upward pressure on consumer prices. So we think that consumer prices overall will rise close to 2%, 1.8% over the next 2 to 3 years. For a typical family, that's like losing $2,400 per year in purchasing power. And one thing to keep in mind is that when you open up the hood to tariffs, they don't pinch every family evenly or the same. right? They hit low-income families more than they do high-income families, because low-income families spend a greater share of their income in general, and they spend a greater share of their budget on imports. So in fact, relative to income, the pinch of tariffs is three times that on the lowest income families as it is on the highest income families. The last thing I'll say is on the Mexico tariffs specifically, because obviously San Antonio and Texas are very focused on how that's going to affect their trade relationship. So it is still unclear about the USMCA exemption, but that's the key question for Texas right now, because overall about half of trade with Mexico is exempt from tariffs under USMCA currently. And if you look at specific goods, like especially food, that share rises to 80 or 90%. So if the USMCA exemption does stay in place come Friday, that would be a huge relief relative to what it could have been for Texas and for trade with Mexico. It means that, especially fresh produce, a lot of food items, several other items would be much less hit than they could have been by that 30% Mexico tariff. But even with those USMCA exemptions, the average effective tariff rate on trade with Mexico would still be 12% coming in. So, a 12% average rate is still significant and still very, very, meaningful and something to be concerned about.
So here we are right now, August 1st, just a couple of days away.
Yeah.
We don't know if these food items, fresh produce, things that we import from Mexico are going to be part of the tariffs or not. How can we not know that?
So it's been the story of these announcements so far this year that there are 30,000 foot sort of general announcements being made and then follow up with the details later. That's been true of both the unilateral tariffs, where the United States will just say, we're going to impose a tariff on Canada, Mexico, we're going to impose a tariff on steel and aluminum. There will be follow-up down the line with greater details about, this is part of what we're talking about, but this is not. And to be absolutely clear, a lot of the clarity that we've gotten have been carve-outs and things that are not subject to tariffs. So this is not just a one-way thing where the deal keeps getting worse. Oftentimes these details exempt products and, make the actual pinch of tariffs less than they've been.
Right, so the car companies are able to get those carve-outs because they're able to go to the White House and, work with Trump on that and, they're at that level. But when we're talking about a produce, I don't know if that's happening. And that's where I'm most concerned.
It should be where you're most concerned, because one-third of all produce that Americans buy, not just one-third of imported produce, but like one-third of any fresh produce that you buy in America right now comes from Mexico, is tomatoes, avocados, fruit from Mexico. And like I said, between 80 to 90% of fresh produce is USMCA exempt right now. So it is, the impact on the typical household hinges on this decision. It's really heightened the business and the consumer uncertainty, the fact that these decisions are not made until the 11th hour. I think that's one of the reasons why you've seen the market turmoil that you've had over the last couple of months, the stock market, the bond market. It's not just the direct effect of tariffs, the fact that tariffs are a tax that are pinching Americans. It's the uncertainty about tariffs, the fact that businesses especially have trouble planning ahead of time, knowing when to hire, when to invest, because they don't know what the final tariff rate will be or what the details are.
We're taking a break here. We're going to come back. We're going to continue trying to get the lowdown on what's happening with these tariffs from Mexico, how this could directly impact South Texas. How many jobs do we have here involved in trucking, import, export, warehousing? All these things are all part of this. You can call in, tell us how this is impacting you and your family, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And The Source continues after this.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company. They are committed to helping policyholders build strong and thriving businesses through their exceptional service. More at texasmutual.com/texansdeliver. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
Hi, this is Ashley Alvarado, President and CEO of Texas Public Radio. Here in South Central Texas, we know the power of community. We show up and stand strong together. That's why we've created TPR's Resiliency Fund, to protect the future of independent journalism, classical music, and meaningful conversations that connect us. And right now, your donation has double the impact. Every dollar you contribute is matched by Texas Cavaliers Charitable Foundation. That match also benefits the incredible work of Camp Camp, a Kerrville nonprofit enriching the lives of people with disabilities. With our resiliency drive, we met the moment. Now, let's build the future. Donate today at tpr.org/resiliency.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the second half hour, we're going to be talking about the health of the Gulf of America, Gulf of Mexico, whatever you want to call it. It's in crisis. We're going to be talking about, but right now, we're talking about the economic impact of the tariffs on Mexico. As of right now, today, 25% that started on Monday, and now it goes up to 30% on Friday. Tomatoes already have an additional 15%. That was a protectionist duty that was put on the fresh tomatoes from Mexico. So those will basically be a 45% tariff. So there's a lot. This is going to impact families. It's going to impact jobs. It's going to definitely hit harder here in South Texas. And our guest is Ernie Tedeschi, Director of Economics at the Budget Lab at Yale. So you mentioned, wow, this is going to raise revenue for the United States. Is that why we're doing this? Because the United States needs that revenue?
I think that's a secondary reason why we're doing it. But I do think it's a significant rationale. The United States has a large budget deficit that is only getting worse. We have an unsustainable fiscal trajectory. And, you know, $2.8 trillion in revenue over 10 years doesn't come close to solving the problem, but it puts a dent in it, you know, particularly after the tax bill that just went through Congress, you know, increases the deficit. So this tariff revenue will largely but not fully pay for the extra deficits that came from that tax bill. I think that the primary reason, you know, if I sort of put the hat on to, you know, think like the administration is thinking, is they want to encourage America, they want to encourage American manufacturing and domestic manufacturing, and they think that tariffs are the way to do that. And you know, to be fair here, when we run the numbers in our economic models from tariffs, there is a benefit to American manufacturing. The output of American manufacturing in the long run, so I'm talking 5-10 years out, is 2% higher. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot to, you know, a normal, well-adjusted human being, but to an economist, that's a significant number. That's a meaningfully higher output for the manufacturing sector. The problem is that the old adage about economic policy applies here, which is that the first thing you learn when you learn economics is that everything in economics is a trade-off. And the United States is a big, rich country, but we're not infinitely big and we're not infinitely rich. If we try to do more of one thing, we're going to do less of another thing. And so that increased manufacturing output is going to weigh on and cannibalize other sectors of the economy. Construction output and construction employment will fall by 3.5%. Agricultural output falls by 1% in the long run, such that when you add all the pluses and minuses across all of the sectors of the U.S. economy, the U.S. economy net-net is smaller overall each year, every year, by about 0.5% in the long run. And again, 0.5% doesn't sound like a lot, but that's the equivalent of more than $100 billion less economic output each year, every year in the United States.
So I'm still trying to focus in on the kitchen table and what happens mm-hmm. there. Now, we're talking about the price of food. Already we're seeing food prices in the United States going up. Beef prices are skyrocketing. Yeah. And that is part of because of tariffs on beef from Brazil. We import a lot of our lean beef from Brazil to mix in with the fatty beef that we have in the United States to come up with our ground beef, you know, that we buy at the local store. And that's driving up those prices. But you look at everything that's happening right now, the tariffs, immigration, the loss of labor at the rising price of energy, and overall inflationary forces just in our financial stream. All these things are compiling, making food more expensive for families. This is not what Trump was elected to do. He was supposed to lower prices. But we're seeing just the opposite. So, and unable to really define anyone writing about what all of this all together is doing to the groceries.
So if you look at the expected effect of these tariffs just on food prices, on grocery prices, and here I don't just mean fresh produce, I mean canned goods, paper towels that you get at the grocery store, everything that you would go to a grocery store to get, it would, over the next 2 to 3 years, it would raise grocery prices by between 3 to 4%, just as a result of these tariffs. I'm not talking about the effect of immigration or anything else on these prices. Now, again, to a normal person, 3 to 4% doesn't sound like a lot. But just to put that in perspective, over the last 12 months, grocery price inflation has been 2.4%. And to your point, Dave, grocery price inflation is actually a little bit elevated right now from normal, because within that 2.4%, there have been rising meat prices. There have been rising prices elsewhere. Egg prices are beginning to come back down, but in level terms, egg prices are still much higher than they were before the bird flu outbreak. And I should say, too, that like the factors driving up egg prices and meat prices are, predate the Trump administration. You know, the meat prices are going up in large part because of
drought.
Exactly. Drought, some supply chain issues. Nevertheless, a family doesn't care like what the drivers are. If they're, family has to pay for what they are. So if grocery prices are going up by 2.4% over the last 12 months, then, an extra 3 to 4% is nearly 2 years worth of normal grocery price inflation on top of the grocery price inflation that would have happened anyway. It's significant. And to your point, like we're just coming out of a period of very high overall inflation and grocery inflation in particular coming out of the pandemic. So, it would not surprise me if consumers are just exhausted with these price increases.
Well, not just consumers, but also the trucking industry, which mm-hmm. they went through this whipsaw in March, where we had the tariffs put in and then they were taken away. And some of the people who moved their products when those few days when we had tariffs, they had to pay all those extra costs. And it was, and now they're feeling, from what I'm hearing, is let's just hold back. Let's wait and see before we move anything, before we get stuck with these additional costs that we can't afford. And there's some people who are saying we may see a supply chain, we may see some missing items at the produce section of the grocery store because of all of this stuff.
It's one of the most common pieces of feedback that you hear from businesses is this separation between the direct effect of the tariffs and the uncertainty. It is one thing if the cost of your imports goes up by 15, 20, 25%. And obviously, there's a level at which your business is just unprofitable, no matter how much certainty you have. So that's one issue. But the uncertainty about where tariff policy is going to be is a whole separate issue that is having almost a chilling effect on business investment, restocking inventories, all of these, especially very short-run decisions that a business has to make. So if you're a grocery store or you're a grocery supplier, and you have to decide, you know, fresh produce is not a good example because fresh produce, you know, can't be inventoried for very,
it's a short shelf life.
He's got a short shelf, right. So you're just, you know, you meet demand where it is. But especially for products that have a longer shelf life, where you can be a bit strategic in the timing of when you bring them into the United States.
Clothing.
Clothing is a great example. Actually, my wife owns a small clothing business, and she doesn't know when she needs to stock up for the holidays at the end of the year. You know, normally she would be putting in orders right now for Christmas. And now she's like, I don't know if now is the optimal time to do that. What if the tariff rate on China goes down? But on the other hand, what if the tariff on China, you know, skyrockets from where it is, right?
People are doing back to school shopping.
Right.
And they're seeing stocking up for back to school, getting all those supplies that are on that list is much more expensive than it was a year ago.
If you think about the tariffs that we've put in place, and this is a little bit less relevant to Mexico, but if you think about, you know, China, now Japan, China up until the Brazil letter had the highest tariff rate of any other country. You think about the goods that we import from these other countries that would be the most sensitive to tariffs, and it almost reads like a who's who of back to school shopping. It is apparel, shoes, and electronics. That are the most hit by the tariffs that we've put in place so far. Now, companies have and retailers have ways of, in the very short run, smoothing out a little bit of the price increases. So, you know, companies may have stocked up on clothing and electronics before the tariffs took effect. They may have a lot of inventory, and they may be sort of burning through that inventory now. That may blunt a bit of the price increase. You know, a lot of big retailers have back to school promotions and doorbusters and ways of spreading the cost.
But back to school sales is one of the big retail, you know, spikes of the year. It's like Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are a couple of tools that they can employ, but look, it's, you know, if there is a cost increase in something that you're selling, it is inevitable, especially since we are fairly sure that foreign producers are not shouldering much, if any, of the tariff. So it's got to fall on Americans. And that's either going to come in the form of lower profits, which sounds like we're dodging a bullet, but really not, because if companies are less profitable, then they hire less, they invest less, or it's going to fall directly on American consumers. It's actually still too early to tell sort of how that's going to play out between those two possibilities. Because I do think that probably companies are eating at least some of the tariffs so far in the form of lower margins, lower profits. But that's not necessarily what they're going to choose forever.
Right. So do you think Americans have caught on to the fact that tariffs are a tax on them? When you say this is going to raise trillions of dollars, that's trillions of dollars that came from hardworking Americans.
Yeah. So, right. So when we talk about, we have an estimate that these new tariffs have raised $65 billion so far in revenue this year. But what I tell people is I'm just like, understand where that $65 billion comes from. That comes from almost entirely American businesses and American consumers so far. I don't know how the politics of this is going to play out. Based on the polling that I've seen, tariffs generally seem unpopular. I think Americans at least understand that tariffs mean higher prices. I don't know. We often don't talk about tariffs as a tax on Americans, although we should. The most interesting thing was when this European Union deal was announced, the 15% tariffs on the European Union, there was a lot of a lot of praise for the negotiation of the administration versus EU officials who wanted the EU to have done more. And I thought that was ironic because I'm like, ultimately what America has negotiated here is a 15% tax on its own businesses and consumers, right? Like everybody loses economically from this.
Yeah. And so, but that was the thing about, you know, I covered NAFTA. I was living, working in Mexico City. I covered it from Mexico when all these things were being negotiated. It was being talked about that getting rid of all these trade barriers would make everyone better off. We would be able to buy things more cheaply. We would be playing to each other's strengths. The United States would be able to do, you know, more. Our farming system was able to do things and able to, you know, and now we're having retaliatory tariffs. We're having pushback. It doesn't seem like this. Were we wrong about NAFTA?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So I overall net, I think that free trade lowered prices for consumers and, you know, made things.
You know what? I'm going to give you some extra time to answer that question because it looks like the guest that we had set up for the next half hour, we're having trouble connecting with him. So if you could hang on, I want to talk to you a little bit more if you have time. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Okay. All right. So we're going to continue our discussion about the tariffs with Ernie Tedeschi, Director of Economics at the Budget Lab at Yale University. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin. Davey's going to wrap things up with Ernie Tedeschi, the Director of Economics at the Budget Lab at Yale. Just wrapping up on thought about NAFTA. They signed it in San Antonio. We were talked about that this was going to be a great thing. It was going to unleash our economic potential. We're getting all these trade barriers out of the way, and now we're putting them back in. So were we wrong? Were we misled? What happened?
Just like all economic policy, and I've said this already, I think that NAFTA and USMCA that, you know, followed it under the first Trump administration was full of trade-offs, right? I think net-net, it was mostly good for Americans. So in particular, I think that prices are lower for Americans than they would have been otherwise without NAFTA. And especially after the pandemic, I think that Americans now appreciate that high prices can eat away at the purchasing power of their wages. And so American wages and income overall have greater purchasing power than they did. I also think that that Mexico's economy is stronger than it would have been without NAFTA. And that's particularly important for Texas and for San Antonio. That comes with, however, some asterisks. Two things I would say is, number one, I don't think, you know, strategically in the 1990s, we understood the path that China would take and how China was, how rapidly China was rising. I think that there was a geopolitical assumption that China was going to democratize as it got richer. That clearly hasn't happened. And so we didn't, in my opinion, we didn't put enough thought into, you know, geopolitical strategy about what key industries we wanted to keep in America because of competition with China. You know, the other thing I'll say is that for particular regions of the country in the United States, they were hit harder by free trade agreements and especially, you know, and then especially the
Rust
China.
Belt, as we like to call it, and which is one reason why we saw so many of those that area vote for Trump, because when he talked protectionism, when he talked tariffs, that was music to their ears.
Right. Exactly. And I don't want to downplay that. That is important. And, you know, economic policies that are focused on revitalizing those areas, I think, are very important and should be a priority. The question is whether tariffs are the right thing to do that. And I should say, too, that, you know, focused tariffs on specific products might be a tool for key things. Like if we decide that we want to prioritize, say, shipbuilding in the United States, because we think that's a national security priority, tariffs on foreign built ships can be one of the tools that we do to encourage that in the United States. But two things. Number one, you know, again, going back to what I said before, the United States can't do everything. So if we choose to prioritize one thing like shipbuilding, that's great. But we will have to do less of something else. And we need to understand the trade-off there. Second thing I will say is that you can make a case for targeted strategic tariffs as a tool in specific cases when you want to do more of that.
But you're talking like an economist.
Funny,
you know.
That.
And so, we're trying to. But here we are. You know, let's live in paycheck to paycheck. you know?
Yeah, but to that point, what that does not argue for is a broad tariff on everything, including things like coffee and bananas that like are never going to be produced in the United States, or for that matter, apparel, where, you know, that tend to be low wage industries that like arguably we don't want, you know, to replace American jobs with apparel jobs, you know,
and we've got 5% unemployment. So, you know,
exactly. Exactly.
All right. So Ernie Tedeschi, thank you so much for talking to us. We've got to let you go. He is the director of economics at the Budget Lab at Yale. He was the chief economist at the White House Council on Economic Advisors under the Biden administration. Ernie, thank you so much. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.